Hello, everybody, and welcome to Honey Badger Radio. My name is Brian, and I'm here with the Fireside Chat, number 97. I'm here with special guest Unvarnished Void. Hi, Unvarnished. Should I just call you Unvarnished, or?
Yeah, that's fine. You can call me Unvarnished or Void. A lot of people just call me Narwhal.
Narwhal? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll probably play around with any one of those, so... So you were making YouTube videos, and let me ask you, a lot of your content's kind of a little bit all over the place, but for the most part, it seems to me that you're, why don't I let you say, like, what is it that you were talking about on your YouTube videos, and why?
A lot of my YouTube videos are probably, like, anti-feminist.
Uh-huh.
And anti-SJW.
Uh-huh.
And the whole reason I made my YouTube channel to begin with was, like, I just wanted to express my opinions about these things. And since I learned about SJWs and feminists, and not, I didn't learn about them shortly before, I had known about them for, like, a little while before starting YouTube. I was like, well, I just want to put my opinions out there.
Yeah. And what was it that got you interested? Like, did you have, like, some experience? Like, how did you find SJW? So, like, was there, like, some kind of personal experience that you had or what?
No, I didn't have, like, a personal experience, like, with them. It was, like, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think about how to explain this.
It's okay.
It's, like, not that I didn't know that, like, feminism existed. I just didn't care about it because, mm-hmm. like, in high school and stuff, and even, like, when I went into college, I was just, like, all about art and mm-hmm. doing, like, artistic things. So I didn't really pay attention to news or anything like that. I just didn't have, I had, like, zero interest. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I, like, didn't know that these things, like, didn't exist or that the whole gender pay gap that people said, it's not like I never heard that before or anything like that. So yeah. I was on a website called Is It Normal? And basically people ask, is this normal? And then you can vote or you can comment on if it's a normal thing to do. It was just like a website that I found. I forgot how I found it, but I thought it was kind of funny. So I'd sit and, like, vote on things or comment on things or, you know?
Yeah.
And, there was a guy on there, and he said, I can't remember what he specifically said, but he said something, and I was like, no. And he was like, no, it's so true. And so then he gave me a link to TJ, the Amazing Atheist.
The Amazing Atheist, yeah.
The Amazing Atheist. And so I watched an Amazing Atheist video, and I was like, no.
What was it about?
I can't remember. It was a while ago.
Okay. So was it, did it deal with feminism?
It did deal with feminism.
It could have been the one, because I remember, like, I'm not really a huge fan of TJ's, but I remember there was one video that really stood out, and I was really glad that he made it, where he talked about the View, and how there was that incident. The View was like that daytime talk show with Sharon Osbourne and... you know, a bunch of other, you know, like, older women that
is this the one where they were, like, laughing?
Yeah, they were laughing about the guy's penis that got cut off and thrown in the garbage disposal.
I know it wasn't that one.
No, it wasn't that one. Okay.
I just can't remember what specifically he was talking about, but it had to do with, like, feminism or SJW or something. And I was, like, I didn't know how extreme the group was. So it's not mm-hmm. like I didn't know that the group didn't exist and that, you know, there weren't, you know, stupid people in it. It's that I just didn't know how extreme or how deep the rabbit hole went.
Sure.
And so I started looking into it more on my own, watching other YouTubers talk about stuff and show stuff. And I never, like, ventured into the side of YouTube before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was new. It wasn't as shocking as, like, when I first found out that flat earthers existed.
Yeah,
because I already knew feminism existed. It wasn't as shocking as that. When I first found out flat earthers existed, that was like, that was actually in college. Mm-hmm. And that was like my science teacher. And he was like, no, they have a website. And I was like, no. So, but I would say it was like a second coming of like right after that or whatever, where I was like, no, these people don't exist.
Well, I'm sure there's like a group for every idea. I'm sure there is, right? Like, yeah. There are, you know, people who, like whether it's true or not, there are people who believe that, you know, we're descended from aliens. There are people who believe that, you know, the moon landing was faked and all that. But
I know that, yeah, it's like, I know that there are like our conspiracy theorists and stuff, mm-hmm. but sometimes some things get you, we don't realize how many people are part of something or whatever.
yeah, sure. But I mean, but yeah, like the feminism thing, like I'm surprised that you found this through, or at least you got like kind of interested in it through The Amazing Atheist. Like most people I talk to, they like find Karen. That's usually what it is. Or, you know, they like, they're on the Reddit or something like that.
Yeah, the guy gave me an Amazing Atheist video first. And then I could tell you the two other ones that I watched like right after that. Because like after I watched The Amazing Atheist, I watched mm-hmm. a few of his. I don't really watch his stuff anymore, like at all. I watch other people's stuff, but
yeah, sure.
If I watched like The Amazing Atheist, then I went and watched Thunderfoot, and then after Thunderfoot, I found Teal Deer.
Oh yeah.
And so those were my first three ones, and then I can't tell you who I found next or anything. Or did yeah, find
but
other
then
people.
That pretty much planted you firmly in the internalized misogyny corner of the internet. So
yeah,
congratulations and welcome. So. So then, like, you were making videos for a bit. What made you want to actually say, you know what, I want to be a part of this conversation?
I'm a very opinionated person.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, and just like on that, is it normal? I gave my opinion. And on YouTube, in comic sessions, I would give my opinion. Although I don't like to be on too many social medias. Like I don't have a Facebook, and yeah. I tell people, I was like, you're lucky that I have a Twitter.
Yeah,
but I just don't like to be on too many social medias, but I'm actually on more than I ever thought I would be. Now I have like a YouTube, and I have, you know, Twitter, and then I also post things to my Instagram and stuff, mm-hmm. for just art stuff for that one. But yeah, so I kind of like branched out, and I'm able to do like, you know, my different hobbies or whatever and post them on my social media. And one of my hobbies is disliking feminism now.
So you mentioned that you do art. Did you go to art school?
Yes, I took every art class that was available in high school. And I also took graphic design and photography in high school. And mm-hmm. then I went to college, and I didn't graduate, but I took every available art class that college had to offer, and graphic design class that college had to offer.
So you didn't like, it wasn't like a major.
I was going to major in graphic design. So I was working mm-hmm. towards that. But then after I took all the artistic stuff, it's all that I was really interested in. And I was, and a lot of it, it was new. Like most, I would say 80% of it was stuff I already knew, because I learned this mm-hmm. stuff in high school. And that's when I realized that not all high schools, or not very many, offer graphic design. Because I was like, I did ask my graphic design teacher in college, I was like, this stuff's so basic. Why are we learning basic stuff? And he was like, well, not everybody knows. And so I just excelled in those classes, because getting like an A and stuff, because I had literally learned, it was like retaking everything. It was a little bit ridiculous to me that I was retaking things, basically.
Sure.
And just wasn't furthering myself that way. And I'm kind of only interested in like, how can I further my artistic skill and work on that. And I found that I learned a lot more outside of college than I ever did inside of college.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
I still pursue art just outside.
yeah, for sure. No, I feel you. Because I'm an artist, too. And one of the things that I noticed, so, like, I'm an older person, in my 40s. And I went to art school originally in the 90s, right after high school, shortly after. And then I stopped because I ran out of money and art school is expensive. And I started working regular jobs to pay it off. And I didn't. Then I went back to school not long ago to finish because I wanted to get my degree.
Oh, and I got lucky. I didn't have to pay for my college.
Well, so. That's nice. are you? I assume you're younger.
I'm 30.
Oh yeah, so younger than I am. Yeah. So, yeah. This is what I was going to ask you. So what I noticed is that when I was in school, especially in art school, a lot of this social justice stuff was pretty much, it was like predominant, not only predominant, but it was almost mandatory in every class I took, as well as on some level, it was in many of the art projects and sort of like encouraged within the students when I was going to school. Did you notice that? Or maybe when you look back on it, do you think you saw it in some level?
I would say not really,
mm-hmm.
actually. And I don't know if it's because I was going to a community college or mm-hmm. just, you know, where I was or whatever. It's not like I'm sure that a lot of the people that I even hung out with might have been feminists or sure. like far left. And I just didn't know because mm-hmm. they didn't do anything really extreme. Like, because I know that, like, I hung out with, like, a lot of people that were, you know, different, that were like gay or bi. And I even had a friend that was pansexual and she probably told you that.
Like they told you that?
Yeah, I had a friend that was like pansexual and I didn't really care. Cause like, again, I didn't like care about those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, whatever. She was a horrible human being. So she probably she was a horrible person.
How so? Like, what do you mean? Like, she
example. When I first met her, we were like in a kind of like a D&D group, but it was for Pathfinder.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what Pathfinder is, so I have to be like, it's like D&D.
Oh yeah, no, I know what D&D and Pathfinder is. I tried Pathfinder.
So I met her there, and we all became good friends in this group. But she slept with another girl in a group that I was good friends with, her boyfriend. And they were, like, friends before I came into the scene and became friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that's disgusting behavior. And she just displayed a lot of really kind of disgusting behavior like that.
Mm.
And it honestly would not surprise me looking back on it that she might have been feminist. Or if she isn't, she is now.
Yeah.
Like, but she just had a lot of, like, I would say not very good character traits like that.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't surprise me if she was also like, I'm feminist.
Well, I mean, okay, maybe this is going to sound cynical, but I find that most people are feminist. Most people, like the average, like normies are pretty feminist.
Yeah, I actually have a friend that we met at my work. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't work there anymore, but we met at my work and we still hang out outside of work. And we still hang out now, even though she doesn't work there anymore. And we just exchanged Christmas gifts, but she'll tell you, and she told me, she's like, I'm a feminist. I was like, oh, do you believe in the patriarchy? No. Do you do mm-hmm. this, this, and this? And it's like, none of the like things that feminists would disown her. And I told her that I was like, actual feminists would disown you.
Yeah.
You would be bludgeoned to death. I was like, so I straight up told her, I was like, you're not a feminist. You just believe in equal rights.
mm-hmm.
So, but she doesn't like to have very political discussions, but she's a really great person. And I find that a lot of like people that you consider normies and like her, for example, they just aren't aware. And they just think like, cause the main
that
feminism is just, we're all about equality. So people right. are like, oh, I'm about equality. So I'm a sure. feminist and they don't really know. And yeah. I would say that those are not like, they're still like, cause they say that they're feminists, but they're unaware, uneducated feminists.
Right. Because they haven't looked very closely at it. They, they're buying into the bill of sales, the snake oil that feminism sells. When that's why when feminists say, well, it's just about equality, then most people are like, well, yeah, sure, I guess I'm one of those. I mean, even people who have made very dominant anti-feminist content, you know, like Sargon has basically said, well, I'm kind of a second wave guy. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you know, that this is, it's difficult to make the case for regular people or people who haven't looked into it very closely that no amount of feminism, no wave of feminism, not even proto-feminism is good. None of it. It's dirty at its very core, at its very foundation. And it's hard for me to, even with anti-feminist people, it's hard for me to talk to them about it because they kind of like, well, how about a little bit of, I'm like, no, none of it, none. You don't need any of it, 100%. And
I think,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you there. I was going to say, I think you'll be like happy to know that I don't like any wave of feminism.
Well, I think
if there's any place for it at all, it just belongs in countries where women are actually oppressed, like, you know, the Middle East.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there because
here's the thing. Women's new movement.
No,
I don't think that there needs to be no women's movement anywhere.
Sure.
Like, oh, I can be like, oh, there needs to be a women's movement here because women are actually oppressed in this society. There is an actual rape culture in this society. Mm-hmm. So here in this is where you can, I don't want to even say like spout your feminist stuff. It's more like here, this is where you can actually do something.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think that position that you've espoused about, you know, like there's probably other parts of the world that would be better served by feminism. It's not an uncommon position that people often take, but I think that there is a problem with it. But I think most people don't know. The problem with it is, with places like the Middle East, which is often cited as this is a place that needs feminism, the problem is that when people look at what's wrong in the Middle East, they're only looking at how it's bad for women there, and they don't look at both sides of the coin. And they create a false idea of what things are like or what life is like there, and they do it in such a way where they're looking at the situation for women without looking at the situation for men. And so because of that, it's easy to fall into the trap of saying, oh yeah, well, we can use feminism in this part of the world. But the problem is that if you bring in a movement like feminism, which again believes that throughout history men have oppressed women and everything that has been done was done for the benefit of men and at the detriment of women, and you bring that to even to a place like the Middle East, which does have real oppression, but not oppression of women, oppression of everybody, and they just do it in different ways that it plays out, right? If you do that, then you're going to create a situation that's very similar to what we have in the West now, where we have a culture that doesn't care about men's suffering, and at the same time assumes that women can never be agents of their own destiny. And so that you infantilize women and you demonize men. And you'll do the same thing in the Middle East if you bring feminism there. Now, do they need human rights? Yes, absolutely. Do they need reform of some kind under Islam? Absolutely. Is there a problem with oppression there? Absolutely. But it's not gendered. And that's the thing that is important. Like, women have... Well, go ahead.
It's not like I don't know that there isn't oppression of, like, poor status people or gay people or children.
It's actually a lot worse if you're gay or Christian
or
Jewish.
Or any of the other, and if you're not Muslim. I understand. So it's not like I'm not aware of that. I'm just pointing out, like, because if they're specifically about women's rights... Well, here's a place where women lack a lot of rights.
Yes.
And even in the society, if you take a poor woman and a poor man, I would say that the woman is still more oppressed in the Middle East than the man is. But I also don't like to play like oppression games because they're both oppressed. But she would still be under, like, say if they're married, she would still be under his thumb and he could be... would have every right to abuse her or do whatever to her. And that includes his children as well. and which I would say the children and are the most vulnerable. If anybody, I would say children are the most vulnerable in these places, both boy and girl children. If I had to pick who was the most vulnerable and who needs the most help.
Mm-hmm. Well, because sure, I would agree with you on the children part. I think that the men and women thing, I think they have checks and balances. I don't like the, there is some stuff that goes around that I don't think really happens. Like the, you know, there is an idea that men are allowed to beat their wives, for example, or there is an idea that women's accusations, are not held to the same standard as men. Things like this, I think that it's a lot more complex than that, and it's not as simple as men are subjugating women in any way. I think that there is something that happens. It's through the clergy itself. For example, one of the things that I remember, I've seen like Al Jazeera Plus, which is a big social justice sort of news outlet. They often promote the equality and diversity that happens under Islamic countries by saying there are more women in political power there. And that's true. There are. But the because women do have a kind of power there that is not like on paper per se, but it is over the next generation. For example, in America, we recently found, you know, the story where they found that secret sort of camp in New Mexico where they were training boys to be school shooters. Yeah. And there were like 7 people that were arrested, and 5 of them were women that were teaching these boys. And they were teaching them to be essentially like sacrificial lambs, you know?
Yes. That is something that happens in the Middle East as well. Like, I was in the military, and they'll tell you about these things. And they'll tell you, like, because they'll try to prepare you for stuff, because it would be with how, like, they train people to basically, in a lot of the times, it's it is men and it is boys. Mm-hmm. But it is also women, because like you don't they can kind of fly under the radar a little, so they'll use women.
Yeah,
to try to fly under the radar, you have to watch women too. They can blow you up just as well.
Oh, sure.
And they'll a lot of the times be in these positions. And then even if you look at if we like back out of that and we look at sex trafficking rings, a lot of the times there's a woman involved.
Yeah, or they run it.
They're involved or they're running it. And I feel like a lot of the times, at least this would be like my opinion, it's because they can kind of fly under the radar a little, the least suspecting.
Yeah, or they're more likely to get away with it for longer. So like if men and women are doing it, they probably just catch men more often. And the women do fly under the radar, as you say. But it's not like there are men that are putting these women in this position specifically to avoid capture. I think these women are interested in doing it. And
oh, I wouldn't say that. I wasn't implying that.
No, I know. I'm just adding. I'm just adding more. This is more of a yes and. Yeah,
I do have a YouTube video where like a woman could be just as violent as men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So I guess what I'm getting at is that first of all, I don't think that feminism in name is necessary. I think there are parts of the world where human rights are necessary, but if we don't look at the situation for both sides of the gender spectrum in any part of the world before we start talking about human rights issues, then we are not going to be doing it correctly, because maybe certain things need to be addressed in different degrees, but we have to not act as though it's like this.
I mean, I can agree with that with the different,
yeah.
Whereas I feel maybe in the Middle East, women might need a little bit more help. I would feel in Europe and I believe India and even America, men need a little bit more help.
Mm-hmm.
It's well, like,
as long as you're open to that idea, like I was gonna say, something else, and I can't remember what it is now. But like, look at what happened with Boko Haram. You know about the Boko Haram stuff? So where they kidnapped all those girls?
Oh yes, yes, yes. They kidnapped boys first, and nobody cared, and then they kidnapped the girls.
Well, they not only did they kidnap boys, but they started killing boys. And yeah, they killed lots and lots of them and set them on fire and shot them and burned down the schools. And nobody noticed and nobody said anything. And then when they finally kidnapped, they didn't even kill these girls. They kidnapped them. And then they basically said, you know, you need to, like, drop all this Western education nonsense. You need to swear, you know, fealty and loyalty to Allah. And then we'll let you go. As soon as, like, enough people, like, take notice, then they took notice. And this is an Islamic... Mm-hmm. An Islamic group, they clearly understand the value of women over men. They figured it out at least. So that's why I say
they at least figured out what Western countries are putting more value on.
Yeah,
but which is very dangerous.
It's true, but they nonetheless they didn't kill those girls.
Yeah, because
they just kidnapped them. So that means that even they recognize that they need girls. It's like, we all know that fundamentally we need females to continue our species. So we have to, even in these other countries, we have to hold them on some value that is not expendable. That's why while there are women who commit suicide bombings, far, far, far more men do it. And it's because they're more expendable. In fact, I think that the promise of virgins in the afterlife, you know, a life of pleasure or whatever, is a way of weaponizing incels in the Middle East, basically, or in Islamic countries. They don't have to be the Middle East, per se, because this sort of stuff happens in Indonesia as well. And because that's like the largest, I believe that's the country with the largest Muslim population in the world. And they also, you know, have that same thing where it's still pretty gynocentric, despite the fact that their expression of gynocentrism doesn't quite line up with ours. And we do give our women more freedom, but we also give our men more freedom as well. So I think that what I'm getting at the core is the feminism is not what we need. We need a human rights movement that doesn't need a branding to it, because I think that's the thing about feminists. I don't know if you noticed, but have you noticed that...
I don't like any... like most groups that have, like, any sort of ideology that's, like heavy in ideologies.
Uh-huh.
And feminism is just, like, laced with it. And that's why you get the extremism. That's why they're very... I would classify them as a cult.
It's the main personally. One. It's the center of the wheel of social justice.
Yeah, so that's, but it's like to me, it's a cult, and it's where you get the extremism, because they have this ideology, and the people personally tie all of who they are as a person to that ideology. And that's why I just kind of like to say, I like to keep words simple. If I'm going to, like, classify myself as something, it's like, so I'll just say, like, I'm egalitarian. So that's just equal rights.
Sure.
If any time egalitarians try to immobile into some, like, group with some really set ideology or something, where it wasn't just like a simple word to describe one thing that I'm for or against or whatever, I'd be like, no.
Well, I don't think that could really happen. I mean, like, at the end of the day...
And that, it's essentially what feminism, I don't want to even say has done, it's what they did from the start, which is why they were always doomed from the start.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. They're basically the establishment. I mean, they have been for a while too. So it's not like they're doomed. I think they actually have a lot of power, and they're
well. I mean, doomed from this. I didn't mean. I meant doomed from the start to end up how they ended up, or how they became with all the extremism and stuff. They were doomed to always end up there.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a slippery snake. The thing is that's great about feminism that works in their favor is extremists can come out and do crazy stuff and, like, you know, start fights in a GameStop or whatever. And feminists can always say, well, that's not my brand of feminism. And then they're safe. And they do that all the time. You know, when extreme misogynists come out.
Scotsman.
Yeah, they get to do that. And then, you know, again, normies that think, well, I believe in equality, then they just continue to sort of, like, you know, keep it alive, you know, as it were. Like, have you ever noticed?
I don't think you'll ever be able to completely kill
no,
it.
No, maybe not. Have you ever noticed that feminists seem more, especially in their PR campaigns, they're more concerned with people calling themselves feminists than actually living as feminists? Like, they're people calling themselves this thing is more important than anything that it actually stands for. What in their
then they get to raise their percentage of people to actually call it, which is actually still low. It's not.
It is.
We got to keep it low. And I actually think, like, they keep it low themselves too, because the more extreme that they get and the more crazy that they get, the more people try to distance themselves from it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, whoa. So all you got to do is, like, I don't think you'll ever completely kill it. You won't, even if they didn't have much power eventually. It's just one of those things where, you know, somebody, you can't kill an idea. You always have.
Sure.
Crazy and dumb people.
Yeah, and another thing is that even if you killed it in name, people would still behave as though it exists, if that makes sense. Like, they'll still put women first, they'll still treat them like children, they'll still give up their resources for them, this kind of thing won't change. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and then you'll always have the men and the women doing that.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like, it's a far larger battle than that.
Yeah. I find the men the most scariest, the feminist men.
Oh, I bet.
I do. Honestly, they're always,
do you know any or met any?
I don't know any. But if somebody is like, if we were in an elevator and somebody's like, I'm a feminist man, I'd be hitting the open button. Like, fucking get out of here.
Yeah, what are you saying, that they give you a creepy vibe or something?
Just if I went to buy statistics and who's going to actually rape me or assault me, it's gonna be a feminist guy. Like,
yeah,
that's gonna espouse that sort of thing. They're just like, it's just a lot of predators hide there, and they, like, you know, have, like, the guise of being a really great person.
Yeah.
And they just have a very, very high statistic for that.
You're just saying
that. I think that they're very concerning.
Yeah. You're just going by what you've seen on social media, like what's happened with male SJWs, like, suddenly being accused of stuff. Or...
And it's not just accusals. I'm not just saying it's just accusals, like with Me Too, where they're just, hey, this happened. No, it's like people that have, like, male feminists that have been proven to be these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very high statistics among them than among some shitlords.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, when I went to that meetup, I was like gung ho. I went by myself and tons of people. I had no idea who they were, and I was like, fine. I would not do that same thing if there was, like, a group of male feminists
or like myself. Okay, I mean that makes sense. Because, you know, we talk about instances where male feminists are accused of sexual assault or whatever, and I always ask, you know, I always bring up that it can be hard to tell if a male feminist is actually more likely to do this, which I think is partly true. I think that it's discussed by other people like Jordan B. Peterson and stuff that, you know, there's like there's one way that men try to be sexually successful, which is to approach women and talk to them and, you know, try to attract them by, in a more upfront manner, you know. And then there is, like, another way that often the male feminists employ, which is sneakier. It's like, you know, get close to them, claim to be their ally, you know, be the pull the nice guy routine, that kind of thing. And sometimes they, you know, they get frustrated because they've invested so much of their time and energy and they don't have anything to show for it. And sometimes they can be, you know, more violent. They can be even sexually aggressive because things don't work out for them. And I think that there's definitely some truth to that. I think that that's, you know, it's something that can happen, but it can be difficult to know the truth because it's like male feminists are, on the one hand, male feminists, let me just finish this.
Yes, go ahead.
On the one hand, male feminists are, seem to be more likely to do this kind of sneaky stuff. And they're probably more likely to be, let's say, sexually improper or like physically improper with women because maybe they feel, you know, a little bit more, I don't know, like close to them, maybe unjustly so. But on the other hand, the women that they're around, which are feminist women, are more likely to see things that aren't rape as rape or make accusations where, you know, or feel unsafe in under circumstances where it wouldn't make sense to because they have demonized men and they have basically made themselves afraid of men in every context. So even a male feminist ally can make them feel uncomfortable because they have a general discomfort towards men in general. And so because both of these parties are approaching any kind of social interaction in a really toxic way, sometimes it can be difficult to tell whether this man was accused or this man was even found guilty of sexual assault, of sexual harassment, because he's more likely to do it or because she's more likely to blow things out of proportion. You know what I mean?
It's not that I think a male feminist is more likely to do it. It's that I think those kind of people are more likely to, like, it attracts the kind of maybe more slimy person it feels like. Just like if there's that stereotype of the clergy or the coach or whatever for pedophiles, because people that are predators will insert themselves into these roles to get closer to the prey. So I think that plays a big role because that's part of what it is. And if you notice with a lot of, and not just male feminists, but even the female feminists or like any feminist, is that they are generally more likely to be absolutely horrible people with horrible characters, personalities and stuff. And they'll say one thing and they do just something behind the door and then that gets exposed.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you had that for like their little women's march or whatever, there was that trans woman that like stole a bunch of money. So I think that it's just like a way for like people to be like, look at me, I'm such a good person. And generally when people do that, look at me, I'm such a good person thing, they're not a very good person because they're more about, they're always saying they are, but they're never really doing anything to show that they are.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think like male feminists, a lot of them are predators. So I would say like, there are like two types of male feminists, and one of them's like the predator, and then the other one's the beaten down man. That's just been so downtrodden, and a lot of them like kind of look at it. You can see it in their eyes.
So those are
the two to me that I could see more often.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that this is definitely like people will insert themselves into movements. Or things that will that they believe will make them look better so that they can also prey on people. I think that happens. You know what I'd like to know? Here's something that I'd really like to know that I don't know if I'll ever get the data on. I wonder how many times female feminists use feminism or women join feminism or whatever to prey on other women or prey on boys or something like that.
I would say very probably just as much as the men, but probably in different ways. It might not be in a sexual way. It might be in a money way. And I think you can look at this. I'm pretty sure like a lot of like the main ones don't actually believe what they're saying, but they're making a lot of money and they're going to continue to say it and argue for it. And then you have like Zoe Quinn, who constantly just gets money out of people. Like, more recently, she got like a bunch of money for a game. She's constantly scamming people, and she got a bunch of money for a game she hasn't delivered. That's like 2 years old or whatever now. And then now she's starting a comic book. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like, Goddess Mode. It won't last. I don't think so.
And I'm actually, I would say I'm part of Comicsgate, and I'm just like, she's just as
I am too.
She's just inserting herself into it.
Absolutely.
Become relevant again and to scam people out of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It doesn't even. I don't even hate on Zoe Quinn for inserting or for doing this. I'm more upset with DC Comics for giving her a job. Like, why? She is not proven at all. And you put her on the Vertigo line, which is the same line that produced Sandman, and the same line that gave us The Watchmen. And you think that Zoe Quinn is at that level? Give me a fucking break. But, you know, I want to go back to this praying thing, because I do think it happens in a sexual way, too. I think that there are plenty of political lesbians. So I'm not shitting on lesbians, because I know that, you know, that's I don't have a problem with that. I'm talking about people who are political lesbians that believe that women should be gay because they'd be safer with other women. And I have seen firsthand lesbian feminist women that have made it their mission to turn regular women that they like into lesbians. And they've said, oh, I can convert her, you know?
I have a funny story actually for college.
Okay. All right.
There is like this girl that sat behind me or whatever, and we talk, and she was a lesbian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she showed me pictures of like girls and stuff that she found attractive. I was like, oh yeah, they're very pretty and stuff like that. And she's like, well, you might be lesbian. And I was just like,
of course.
No, I like dick.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you might be lesbian. Now eat my pussy.
Yeah, she was just like,
otherwise you hate me.
In front of like all these class, so I didn't like really want to like have like an argument that I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah.
But like, so I kind of like had to end it. But like,
can you imagine?
Because I can sit there and say, mm-hmm. These people are attractive doesn't mean I want to like sleep with them.
Well, yeah, I mean, we as human beings, we all find the female form attractive. Women but too.
They don't have to be lesbians.
Oh yeah, no, that absolutely happens. I know it does. I've seen it myself. Like I knew a girl who I worked with that was a big feminist, and she was also a lesbian, and she wanted to turn all the women into lesbians. She didn't just see. It wasn't just that she found women sexually attractive. It's that she found men sexually disgusting, and she thought that other women should also find men sexually disgusting. So it's like there's a line between doing something because you have a preference but not caring about what other people do. So for example, if you're a person that eats paleo or carnivore or keto diet, and you eat a lot of meat and you don't eat much in the way of grains and you just eat meats, right? Mostly. Those people don't have a problem with vegetarians. They don't think that they're being, unethical or immoral or anything like that. They just eat their food. But then you have, I wouldn't say all vegetarians or vegans, but you have like people who get into those diets for political reasons. They become political vegans. I don't think I've ever heard of a non-political vegans, but
vegans are like, they're also in a cult. Like, yeah. There's some vegans that aren't, that are like, yeah, okay, I did it for my own health or something like that.
Yeah.
Very few. I've met like maybe like a handful. And I do have a vegan at my mm-hmm. work who's doesn't like that. She's not about that kind of veganism, you know?
Yeah.
So she's just a nice person.
Who's yeah, but vegan. That's, I'm sure that's an outlier, but just from what I've seen. But
yeah,
but
yeah.
My point is,
I only know like a handful. I've only met like in my whole life, like a handful of just nice people that are just happen to be vegan. Whereas most of the time, it's the vegans are like freaking, they're in like, a diet cult.
They're like vegan gains or something like that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a super chat coming through in a moment. So if you hear a tone, oh, you're not going to. We're going to wait for it because it's going to, you're not going to hear it, but I'm going to let it play out. Is it going to play? Okay, well, Zeranx gives us $10 and says, isn't it funny how lesbians trying to turn other women focuses on the same behavior of letting the woman on the hook.
Isn't it funny how lesbians trying to turn other women focuses on the same behavior?
Just a moment.
Getting a woman on the hook. Let her down the path because she's gone
gay
this
men
far
do it
already.
Too, actually. I will say, my boyfriend worked with a gay guy that was constantly trying to get my boyfriend to be gay with him. To a point where I would have been like, wow, that's really like sexual harassment in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know about it at first until like, you know, a while after. But it's one of the reasons why he invited me to hang out at his work, because he worked at a gas station, you know. It's one of the reasons why he invited me there, so that this gay dude wouldn't hit on him anymore, trying to tell him that he's gay. So,
well, yeah, no, it does happen. I think it's, it seems to me it's more common with lesbians.
It's really
weird
I find it really weird. Really weird thing to like try it, to first.
It is. It's really strange. And I guess my ultimate point with the vegans versus like paleo people is that there are people who they have a lifestyle they want to live, but they assume that they don't assume that it has like a moral center, and so therefore they don't think other people should live that way per se. They just think if this is what you like, then you should do it. And then there are people who believe that the way they live is the right way, and that others should also live that way. And so they want to like, you know, influence other people. They want to push them. They want to try to change their minds about whatever it is they've chosen, as though they've made the wrong choice. And I've noticed that I think there is a lot of predatory behavior going on with female feminists on other women, primarily, although there's probably also cases of women doing this to men, that we're not talking about. Not to take attention away from the cases when men do it, but I've noticed that we're really focused on that, and I wonder if the opposite doesn't happen, and I bet it does.
I would say it probably does. And then if you look at the statistics where lesbians have the most abusive relationships,
they do. Yeah, and when you also look at like the kinds of books that many prominent feminists have written, where essentially it's like engaging in borderline pedophilia, if not outright pedophilia, towards little boys. And so you have to ask yourself if these people are writing about this stuff. Like I think Andrea Dworkin wrote one called Beautiful Boy. It might not have been her though. It might have been somebody else. Where they was talking about like, you know, sexualizing children. You have to ask yourself, well, is this just writing? Like that, it's just a question, you know. I'm not saying let's lock her up. I don't know. I'm just saying like this should be looked at a little bit closely, you know, at least talked about more. So, but yeah, there is definitely, like you said, there are gay men who do the same. We had a in a way, like we had a international conference on men's issues this year, and there was a guy speaking there who was a gay man who was a sociology professor that supposedly does a class called Masculinities. And I was really curious about what he talks about in his Masculinities class, because while I personally don't believe there should be any class for Masculinities or femininity or whatever, women's studies or men's studies, personally I don't think that there should be one, because I don't think we should be learning about that stuff through the, you know, education system. I think we should be learning about that stuff from...
They're mostly BS.
Of course they are.
So it's like, it's kind of like, God, what's the term I'm trying to think of? It's like, there's a word for it, but like, I just can think of shitty science. It's not like real science. It's like,
oh, for sure. It's pseudoscience. It's
pseudoscience.
Bullshit.
That's the name. Yeah. That's what I was trying to think of. I cannot even think of.
It's bullshit, but it's still really popular because a lot of kids go to college and they don't know what to do. And so, you know, like they go to college because they're told they're supposed to go. And then they get there and they don't know what they want to take. So they just take what looks easiest, and oftentimes women's studies ends up. And you know, you don't even have to take women's studies to learn feminism, because you can take anything. And they'll put feminism in it. Like when I went last, which was only a few years ago, I found feminism in every single class I took, with the exception of math. Even the hard science classes I took had feminism in it.
I didn't experience that. Like I had I had like really good professors.
Yeah, you might have been lucky.
I had oh my God, I loved my writing professor. Like, cause he was very like free speech guy. Mm-hmm. And he just had open discussions in the room. So I was like always giving my opinion I like to do in his classroom and stuff. And I noticed that like I was the one that was like a lot of the times I always participated. Not everybody always. I always participated in an open discussion. And the same with my like science teacher too. I did the same thing where I like pretty much if it was like, and you had the room or whatever, I was like, I have the room and I need to like debate my position on this topic. But my writing teacher, he was very good. He even had us to where we had to take a different position as well, like the opposite. So we had to debate from that position. I thought that was awesome. I thought he was like the best professor ever. And feminism was never brought up, and there was nothing really ever very feminist in there. And like, it was very much a free speech kind of thing. And I feel like now if I was like in a gender study class and I said half the things that I said in my friggin' writing class, like I would be friggin' the mob would descend or whatever. So it was like, we didn't really have that, or they just didn't feel comfortable enough speaking out. Maybe they thought that they were outnumbered in that class.
Yeah, maybe. I think it depends. The professor, like when I was going to school, my professors were feminists, like I would say almost all of them. Probably all of them. I mean, the math teacher couldn't figure out how to cram it in there. You know, I don't know. But all the other ones did. And I think that, you know, there's like a statistic, like 85% of college professors are left wingers. And they teach it with a left wing bias, and therefore most colleges have it. And the more the higher end the college is, the more of that you have. That's why you have all this shit that was going on at Yale and Harvard and
I was in a little community college.
Yeah, so maybe there was less of that there, perhaps.
Maybe, or they could have been left leaning, and I would not have known.
Yeah.
Because they didn't make it a part of their
curriculum.
Their bias into the curriculum.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anyway, I want to go back to what I was going to say about this teacher. So he was doing this masculinities class. I was curious about what it was, or in England. And basically what he had, what he was trying to push in his talk was that men are, with every generation, men are moving away from homophobia. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, moving away from homophobia by being more physically, essentially, like they hold hands more often, they hug more often, they cuddle, they kiss, these kinds of things, right? And he was saying
what
that
kind of kissing.
Like he says on the lips. I don't know, but like the thing is, I don't know where he's getting his data from. But we did talk about it for either. A bit.
Most girls don't even kiss on the lips.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of strange, right? But I asked him, you know, we did an interview, and I said, do you believe, because basically what he said is that men are becoming less and less masculine, and that it's a trend, and it's a good thing. And I was like, so do you believe that masculinity is equal to homophobia? Like, what do you think masculine means in this context? Because I just found it really strange that what he was saying is that men are becoming less masculine, and therefore they're becoming less homophobic. And it is, right? But he said that he had personal, you know, experience with homophobia because he was gay, and he had a lot, you know, been bullied, and he had been beaten up, and these kinds of things, like when he was a child in the 80s, right? So I think that that kind of like put him in a certain mindset in terms of how he looks at or views masculinity. And he was taught by some of the most prominent male feminists out there that are also professors, such as Michael Messner and Michael Kimmel. And I don't know if you've ever seen Michael Kimmel work in particular. He has been in a lot of like feminist documentaries like The Masculivin and stuff like that. He's cancer. But anyway, he learned from these guys, but he supposedly moved away from it because he's focusing on helping men. But he's still operating within that structure of toxic masculinity exists, which this is the fundamental issue I have with feminism and people who just view the world through a lens that is similar to feminism, even if they don't call themselves feminists. When there is a problem affecting women, the people generally want to change the environment to better suit women so that they're more comfortable. But when there's a problem that's facing men, people generally want to change men so that they fit better into the environment that has been created around them. So
I would say that that is a good take.
I would say
that's an accurate take.
And I think that's the problem. And they also do it with, like, I'm surprised that this guy's a masculinities professor and he doesn't understand men that well, in my opinion. Because I said, so what about masculine gay men? You know, like, there are gay men that are masculine. In fact, many of them were, you know, there were, we had at the ICMI lots of gay men that you wouldn't know they were gay unless they told you. And it wasn't like they were behaving masculine to hide it. That's just the way they are. Like, it's almost like, you know, a person's sexual preference does not determine their personality.
Well, just like there's masculine gay men, there's very feminine lesbian women.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's, they're not just in porn. They don't just exist in porn. There are feminine gay women. In fact, I mean, if you think about it, what is if a man that's attracted to another if a man is attracted to another man because of his masculinity, because he's a man, then how would that man acting like a woman be attracted to that man? Like, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but you see that there's a little bit of a, it's kind of a tricky situation because you're trying, like, okay, so lesbians like women, do they like them because they're women? Therefore, do they like them because they're feminine? So, like, so if they're not feminine, are they still attractive? Like, how manly can a lesbian look before other lesbians are like, I'm not into that? And then vice versa. These are just like things I'm asking, you know.
I would not know at all. I would.
I don't either.
I think they would all be like just different preferences to each person. Kind of like,
sure.
I like, you know, if you like certain hair colors or eye colors or skin colors, I'd assume it'd just be like that kind of preference. Where maybe they like a more masculine looking woman.
You're breaking up. Hello?
The genitalia.
Yeah, you're breaking up a lot. I don't know what's going on. I hope it's not me.
Sound better now?
No, you're good. You're good. Okay, hello?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I was just going to say one other thing, too, is that, you know, it's interesting that typically homosexual people pair up. And there's one person that's more feminine and another person that's more masculine. So they still kind of pair up in a way that straight people do in a way. It's just interesting to me. So
Generally, that could be just filling a role that you're not filling. Because men and women will fill different roles.
A gender role?
It doesn't matter if you have maybe a more masculine woman with a more feminine man. Maybe she's filling those roles and he's filling the other roles, because generally when you pair up with somebody, they're going to be filling in things that you don't do or aren't good at, or, you know, just things like that. Like, it leaks into like almost everything. Like, my boyfriend can fix my computer if it needs to. Yeah. That kind of thing. But, you know, he can only make friggin' hot dogs, and I can cook him a meal. So it's like we feel a certain need and stuff. So it would be kind of like that, I would say.
Sure.
When people generally pair up, it's the person that they pair up with is generally filling different holes or needs that they need. And then it works. I think it works out well that way when you get somebody that can do that.
Yeah. No, of course. It's just
and people do fill out gender roles.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even in a relationship that only had one gender in it, even like in a single gender relationship, they're like filling different gender roles.
They're filling different gender roles, yes.
So,
especially if children are involved, because each person will want to take a fatherly or a motherly role. Because it takes a combination of both is the best way to raise a child. So one gender will take the other, and the other person will fill the other role. And it could be switched, but more than likely, it is a female filling the feminine gender role and a male filling the more masculine or fatherly gender roles.
Yeah.
It's not like a set in stone thing, because we're all people and we all change and have our differences and everything like that. But it's the more likely thing that when people are given a free choice, these are the things that they are more likely to fall in. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's natural.
Yeah.
But it is. And gender roles are not a society built thing.
Yeah.
It is just, you can say some aspects maybe, or some things tied to gender roles might be a society, like making pink a girl color, making blue a boy color, that's a societal thing. But the motherly role being filled by the woman is not a society created thing. Yeah. Or little girls liking little girl toys is not a society created thing.
No, of course not. No, it's I mean, it's interesting because you know, if people are left to their own devices, that's what girls are going to choose, that's what boys are going to choose, and so on. But you know, feminists and SJWs, they think that they can engineer people's likes and dislikes. They can, and they can essentially socially engineer people to like what, to be the way they want them to. And
that's because they're way more interested in making people fill roles equally,
mm-hmm.
instead of having just equal opportunity, which is how it should be. Just, you know, everybody has the same opportunity, equal opportunity, but they're more interested in
the outcome. Not interested in,
they're more interested in the outcome, enforcing that to happen, which is actually very dictatorship and fascist. Oh,
it's totalitarian, it's dangerous, it's destructive, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it, like, and you would basically have to take away people's choice, or, like, you know, just create a pocket within the society that you force people, or force this thing. Like, whenever they're like, oh, we have 50% women and 50% men, and I'm like, that's not natural. That didn't mm-hmm. happen naturally. Mm-hmm. You went out and specifically did this.
That's why they do it in they're so prominent in culture too, and art cultures as well. That's why I asked you about the art thing, because I'm not blaming artists, because I am one, but I think that culture of encouragement to discuss the political in art, and essentially to use that to affect culture, to push society in a certain political direction, is why that they dominate in culture, right? They dominate in film and television and comics and gaming, in pretty much many areas that we have already sort of, like, you know, taken on, like television, film, and music. But then also they're moving into these sort of subcultures that are really popular, like video games, which is the largest entertainment industry mm-hmm. that's ever existed. But
they
now
didn't
it doesn't
used to be.
No, they didn't, because at the time it wasn't big. It's like, as soon as something becomes so big that you can't ignore it and it's making tons and tons of money, then they become interested. This is what comics, they didn't start doing this in comics. Okay, on some level, there's always been a little bit of social justice in comics, in particular with the indie scene, okay? But they didn't start taking an interest in the mainstream sort of Marvel, DC superhero stuff until the movies started coming out. The MCU movies started making billions of dollars. And suddenly, all these writers want to work at Marvel Comics so they can, like, or DC Comics, so they can basically, like, tell their stories. And, of course, they're killing the industry. The same thing happened with Tabletop. You were just talking about Pathfinder. And
yeah, the reason why is they don't care about – they have very little care for – making money, because mm-hmm. if they did, they would tell different stories, they'd take it different directions. They don't care about money. They care about their propaganda, their agenda, and pushing that, which I think will eventually lead to their failure in these different industries. And
well, they'll take the whole thing down off. It'll
yeah,
kill the
might
industry
even kill
too.
Off the whole thing. We're mm-hmm. and that's why you're seeing the rise of indie stuff that are like filling what people actually want, and the popular stuff isn't what people want anymore.
Yeah.
Because it got taken over and they don't care about money. And it's also why, like if the companies stationed in other countries like Japan are still okay right now. If they stay over in their respective countries that feminism doesn't have, like, a strong foothold in.
Mm-hmm.
But if they came over here, feminism and would get, like, kind of a push their way into it and then destroy it from the inside out. Because they never cared about the thing to begin with.
Yeah, no, of course they don't. And that's why they don't care if they take it down with them, because they didn't build it, right? They basically got involved when it was popular. So they don't have the, they don't even have a history with it. And it's also interesting to note that all these industries are ones that were built up and made popular by men, by and large. Not that there weren't women there, but men are the largest contributors to it. And so when it, because they're not going after women's hobbies, with the only exception.
Well, they'll attack women in the industry too, without even realizing that they're women. Like, you friggin', I draw a big busty woman, which I do. that's not good. Like, I'm not popular enough for feminists
to notice,
to attack my art, but I've seen it with other artists too. And it's like, oh, this is just the male fantasy and this and that. And it's like, you do realize that you're just dogging on, this is a woman artist. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care, about that. And they don't really care about women.
Feminism, no, of course not.
As much anti-woman as it is anti-men.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Sorry, my dog's barking. That's okay. He probably hears somebody coming up the stairs, or the mailman is outside or something. So where can people find your art? Is it on Twitter, or do you have like a DeviantArt, do you? Because we'll have to stop being friends right now.
I don't. Okay. I never liked DeviantArt.
Yeah,
I never liked it. I would never have it. You can follow my Twitter. I will post some of my art there occasionally. But also, I have a Patreon, and you don't have to become a Patreon to see a lot of my artwork. So, and I'm just Unvarnished Void on Patreon as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go and check out my artwork there. If you like it and you want to see other artwork that's not available for you, then you can, there's lots of things there. The lowest one being $1 or whatever for my Patreon, if like anyone's interested. But you don't have to become one. If you just want to, like, I'd just like it if you follow my art and just let me know what you thought. Like, that's cool too. I love that.
Yeah. I love getting a bit.
Yeah, I don't have very much right now because I just recently started putting art on my Patreon because some friends like encouraged me. They're like, you draw, but you never like promote your art. So they encouraged me to do it on my Patreon, and I've been trying to post more on my Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm also involved with Science Wizard Comics. So I'll give them a shout out because like
are you doing something together?
Yeah, we're doing stuff together, and we're currently making comic books. So you can follow them, too, as well. And let me see.
So you have a book out already, or are you just working on something now, or what?
So it is just something that we're working on now. We have different titles that should come out. And some of them I have very, very little involvement in, and some of them I have more involvement in. So it just kind of like varies. But their thing is, they're new. It's a new group, so they don't have like a comic book right now out. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's at Science Comics on Twitter. So you can follow them as well.
Okay. That sounds great, because I'm working on a comic too. And also working with comics reviewer Micah Curtis, and we're doing a book together as well. So we'll definitely have to keep in touch on that. When you have something you want to, you know, show and shill or whatever, and I'll help you with that if you help me with mine, because I want to save comics. I really do.
Right. One of my friends that's also in Science Wizard Comics, he's having he's having an art contest.
Okay.
And the prize, the main prize is like $200 if you want to enter.
Sure.
But it's due on the 1st of February.
Okay.
I'll send you that. So maybe you'll like to submit some of your art.
Yeah, send it to me. I got lots of stuff. And I do a stream on my channel, my personal channel, every day at noon where I do art. So I just do a live stream. So maybe if you do digital, maybe you want to come on with me and we'll do some drawing together.
Oh, maybe. I have a bit of anxiety with that.
Why?
I can't stand like people even, I understand that it's a little bit different or whatever, but I can't stand like people like looking at me while I draw stuff. because I guess like I got a lot of that like over the shoulder feeling, even if they're like not there. So I could do probably like little spurts of drawings, but then I get like some anxiety. Yeah, I get very much anxiety about it. And then I also like, even people in like the same house as me, I've got like two confirmed people that can be in the house while I draw.
Okay.
And that's my daughter and my boyfriend. And then like everybody else can please leave me alone. That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I get kind of nervous about it. I'm sorry. I do have like, I don't know how else to explain it. I get like anxiety.
Sure. No, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I mean, if you're feeling up to it.
Like even in college, like all during class and art class, I would just like be talking to people, seeing what they were doing. I'd go home, work on my stuff, bring it in the next day. Like here. Yeah. Which the art teacher was fine with, because as long as I got my work done and like did it, but.
No, I can understand that. So how old is your daughter?
My daughter, she'll be turning 11, on February 14th. She has Valentine's Day birthday.
Oh wow! Okay, cool.
And she's actually going to be having a Harry Potter birthday.
Well.
We like Harry Potter, but I do not like J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm able to separate the
art from the artist.
From the artist in that instance.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. Make sure your daughter reads another book too. We don't want to hear about Harry Potter references forever.
No, she won't. She does read other books.
Okay, good. Okay,
we're just on the third Harry Potter book, and she's gonna have a Harry Potter birthday, but she's also had a Spider-Man birthday party, and she had a fairy birthday party.
Yeah.
She had a Minecraft one, and we actually put her gaming name on the cake.
Oh, that's funny. So. Well, and your cake was probably square. We should probably wrap it up because we've been going for a little bit longer than close to an hour and a half. And I don't like to get the streams to be too long because then nobody will watch them. So do you feel pretty good about the conversation?
Yeah. I really enjoyed having the conversation. I liked the chat. I didn't read very much, but I did catch some people and some of the stuff that they said sometimes over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they said a creeper cake and the cake is a lie.
Oh god. Okay. Yeah. So thanks for coming on. And I want to thank you guys. If you want to come back on sometime. I don't know if this interests you at all. Just to like we could talk about news stories. Definitely. Sometimes I do this show where I will talk with people about the events that have happened on the week and try to get different guests on to like maybe they can like give us their thoughts on stuff. You know, like tomorrow we're going to be doing a show. We're going to talk about the, was it this Overwatch League player that pretended to be a woman but turned out to be a man?
And, yes, I did see about that. Well, I'll probably talk about that on the radio show that I do, which is every Friday, ericradio.co.uk. That's where I put my opinions at. And we read actually like a bunch of news articles on there too. And you're actually welcome on that show if you would like. It's every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. We do the first 30 minutes on YouTube, and then the rest of it is on our website. So that way, like, even if they kick you off of YouTube, all of our stuff's on a website anyways, so we don't lose anything.
That's pretty clever. That's a pretty clever idea. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get us out of here. So thank you, Unvarnished Void, for coming on. Thank you guys for watching us on the Fireside Chat. If you guys could be so kind, please give this video a like and also leave us a comment. And if you're not subscribed to Badger Livestreams already, please do so. Stay tuned because we got, stay tuned to this channel. I mean, you could leave after I stop the call here. But we got a big announcements coming up regarding the International Conference on Men's Issues 2019. As well as, future guests and things that we're going to be doing a little bit differently. So thanks again for coming on, and we'll talk to you guys next time.